everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. Time to saddle up. Let's do another show. What do you say? It's Wednesday, October 26th, 2022. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. He's engineering and producing our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. 80 degrees today. The morning's very pleasant and cool. It's that transition time, Tom.
Transition time.
Yes.
Okay. That sounds good.
It's the transition season in the desert where things are very, very pleasant and warm during the day. And I like the cool nights and
good sleeping weather.
Yeah. And by the way, the 40-some degree temperature that we had officially, I think it was 42 yesterday, that was the coldest temperature. The last time it was that cold was mid-April, April 15th. So took about, 6 months. So we've got a nice 6 months ahead of us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line for our telephone interviews, presented by, Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We go now on the live line. Dr. Victoria Mays is the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a Professor of Medicine and Public Health, internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. Dr. Mays is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve our healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mays co-hosts the podcast titled Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mays or find out more about her at azcim.org. Dr. Mays, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Lots of people complaining of colds. Some of them are not sure if it's a cold or the flu or even COVID. I mean, you do have three situations that have overlapping symptoms in many cases.
It's so true. And in many ways, some of the practices that we put in place to prevent COVID were really helpful in preventing us from getting colds or even worse, the flu. So a lot of us were staying a little bit more socially isolated. So we weren't coming in contact with people who had a cold. We were wearing masks. We were washing our hands much more frequently. And all of these are really wonderful ways to prevent ourselves from getting sick. And then, you know, if you were sick, you were, I'm sorry to say this, but a pariah. I mean, nobody wanted to go out coughing because everyone would look at you.
Yeah. I mean, you do a cough in the supermarket during the height of the pandemic. You just wanted to dig a hole and bury yourself.
It's so true. And I have little grandchildren and, you know, my daughter says, oh, you can't bring them anywhere if they're coughing. And of course, coughs can linger a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But I think what you really want to do is don't give your cold or the flu or COVID to anybody else. So cover your nose and mouth with a tissue. If you cough or sneeze, throw the tissue away, wash your hands. I mean, that's like basic 101 hygiene. And if you have a bathroom that lots of people use, make sure that you have hand towels that get thrown away or are washed, you know, like something small, so that people don't use the same towel. I mean, these are just really basic hygiene recommendations.
How about a precaution against the flu? What is the best medicine for that?
Exactly the same prevention recommendations. We get this from, hand, touching something someone else has touched, shaking someone's hand, sadly being sneezed on. And so careful hand washing, wearing a mask, these things really help staying hydrated. You know, sometimes when your nasal passages are really dry, that puts you at higher risk. And then, of course, we have the flu shot. And so getting vaccinated against the flu is a really good way to prevent yourselves from getting it. We have a particular worry that this is going to be a more severe flu year. It's a more severe variant. It's come in to Tucson and to Southern Arizona a little sooner. And of course, many of us, you know, haven't gotten the flu in several years because we were being super careful during the COVID pandemic. And so vaccines are a very good idea.
So many people will rush to the doctor with a cold, and they expect to receive antibiotics, which isn't really helpful, is it?
No. So antibiotics, in that name, it's really against bacterial infections. And so when you have a cold, it's almost always a viral infection. Sometimes when you get sicker, if you get sicker, you can have a bacterial infection follow a viral infection. So you might have a bronchitis or, you know, even worse, a pneumonia, and then you might need an antibiotic. But for viruses, antibiotics don't work. We do now have some antiviral medicines. So, for example, if you get the flu and you have classic flu symptoms, then you can take an antiviral medicine like Tamiflu. To get that, you have to have a prescription by your physician, you have to take it really within 48 hours. You mentioned, you know, that there's some overlap, and for sure there is, but a flu is usually more significant than a cold. The symptoms come on very suddenly, and they include fever, chills, a cough, a sore throat, runny nose, or maybe a stuffy nose, muscle aches, body aches, headache, fatigue, and sometimes this burning in your eyes as well. So it's much more significant than, you know, a runny nose and sneezing, for example.
What about vitamin C, elderberry, zinc? Some suggestion that these certain vitamins and ingredients and home remedies can, at the very least, Dr. Mazes, stimulate the immune system and slightly shorten the duration of your symptoms?
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes people poo-poo this, but I actually think a shorter illness is a better illness.
Me too.
You know, if somebody If someone told me I could have, you know, 1 or 2 days less of being sick by having a zinc lozenge, which is one of the things that's helpful. There are zinc lozenges. The lozenge is nicer than swallowing a pill because it coats the back of your throat, which is, you know, where the virus is proliferating. There's elderberry, which is a syrup, and that also shortens the duration. And there's vitamin C, and there's evidence for that as well to shorten the duration. So I think all of these things are, you know, very safe. Vitamin C and elderberry, certainly very safe. Zinc, you don't want to take forever. You use that over a shorter amount of time, but in the short term, it's definitely another thing that, you know, can be used to shorten the duration of a cold.
And there still is controversy over zinc lozenges as a preventive, or for that matter, elderberry as a preventive. Elderberry also, by the way, comes, as you know, in lozenge forms. So what about that as a preventive?
Yeah, so we're, you know, we have a little bit better data, as you point out, about things shortening the duration as opposed to prevention. For prevention, I like to recommend raw garlic. Now, I know not everybody's going to go for that, but I'll just give you an example. I had a lovely woman who is a kindergarten teacher in my practice, and she said she got every single cold from the kids, you know, these little kids whose immune systems are still developing. And just she was, you know, she'd say she'd be sick all winter. And one of the things I recommended to her was to include raw garlic in her diet. Garlic has natural ingredients that are antibiotic and antiviral. And what I usually recommend to people is they take a clove of garlic and they press it. And then, or chop it, and then they let it sit. Because you know, when the garlic is inside the clove, it has no odor. And then once you chop it, you get that odor. So you're activating the garlic. And you let it sit for, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes. And then there's different ways to include it in your diet. So you don't just want to swallow it, obviously. But one way would be you can mix it in, for example, with a little soft cheese, like a cream cheese, and put that on toast. And that will be an antiviral. Or you can mix some into your salad dressing, and that can be an antiviral. So you figure out ways. If you're having a stir fry, as you finish cooking it, you could throw that garlic in. So there's ways to include it in the diet. And that's a really great way to reduce your risk of getting sick.
Chicken soup is always a good standby, isn't it?
Well, chicken soup, I think, is really nice if you are sick. You know, I think that it really helps the, you know, the warm soup, the broth, you know, it rehydrates you. It sometimes can help you blow your nose better. Something that I think works even better is a neti pot or a Neel Med sinus rinse. So these are ways in which you irrigate your nasal passages. If you get, for example, the Neel Med sinus rinse, it comes with a little packet that has some salt and baking soda. You put that into boiled water that has cooled or distilled water, and then you you squirt it in your nose, and it shrinks the swollen nasal passages. It helps wash out the mucus. It helps you really blow your nose if you're congested and just feel like you can't clear it. It's a lovely thing to do before you go to sleep, so you don't have all of that post-nasal drainage in the morning when you wake up that then can be, you know, expressed as a cough. So I'm a big fan. And it sounds yucky, but once people start doing it, they go, oh, this isn't bad. And it makes them feel so much better.
Yeah, and it can be very helpful at the tail end of a cold, too, because many times the cold seems to kind of migrate up into the sinuses, so that's good to keep the sinuses clear.
Absolutely right. I completely agree. Or the mucus starts getting a little dried out.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can be helpful. So, you know, that's great. People sometimes have a sore throat, so the chicken soup can be helpful there. There's lots of soothing teas. I like, you know, the yogi teas or the traditional medicinals, which have things like throat comfort or throat coat, and they're very soothing. Making a tea out of fresh ginger, which has anti-inflammatory properties, a little ginger, a little lemon, a little honey, you know, that can be super helpful. Gargling. People sometimes have a sore throat. If they gargle with salt water, that will shrink the swelling and make people feel better. So there's lots of things to kind of reduce the symptoms when you have a cold or the flu.
Let's talk a little bit about comfort food. We'll be back with Dr. Mazes in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They open at 6:30. For breakfast Tuesday through Saturday, and boy, they do a beautiful breakfast. My goodness, they've got all the beautiful pastries, and they got the grill. The grill's all fired up for your eggs and bacon. You name it, they can do it. If you want some of the toast, that they're great breads. We had some of their rustic bread, so good. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. We'll be back with Dr. Victoria Mazes right after we take a short break. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The way we vote in Pima County is changing. Are you ready? The League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson invites you to visit ReadySetVoteTucson.com to learn about new vote centers for easier in-person voting, new voting districts, and changes to the early voting list. Get ready to vote at ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Brought to you by the League of Women Voters of Greater Tucson. That's ReadySetVoteTucson.com. Get ready to vote.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line for part two of our monthly conversation, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine and public health. Dr. Mazes, at one time or another, it seems just about everybody gets anxious, and anxiety is a huge problem in the United States, so much so that the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force is actually looking at a recommendation that screening for anxiety in adults be kind of a mainstream of preventive health care.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Right now, that is out for public comment about whether everybody, all adults, I should say, should be screened. The United States Preventive Services Task Force already recommended that children from the ages of 8 to 18 be screened. And, you know, anxiety was pretty common before the pandemic, but since the pandemic began, even more people are anxious. Then we can recommend ways that people can more effectively deal with it.
Yeah, I have the recommendation in front of me, and it's saying that adults ages 64 or younger, including pregnant and postpartum persons, be screened. I'm just curious why seniors weren't also included in that, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when they make these recommendations, they look over all the studies and they try and figure out, you know, is there enough evidence? And so One possibility is that seniors weren't studied as much because they're left out of studies because they have other conditions, and that makes it confusing. You know, a lot of times in studies, we just like to look at one condition. So that is one possibility. And another is that as we get older, sometimes we get less anxious. You know, we have more life experience. We have more tools and know how to better manage when stressful things come up. Interestingly enough, in general, people also get happier as they get older. Mm. So it could be that our mental health actually improves with age and it's not as necessary.
Some of the importance of this is the anxiety disorders are very widespread, and they can include various components: separation anxiety disorder, phobias, anxieties really cover the panic disorder. They really cover a wide range, don't they?
Yeah, so there are five DSM or psychiatric diagnoses, and those are, as you mentioned, panic attacks. There are phobias. There's obsessive compulsive disorder, PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. And then there's the big grab bag of generalized anxiety disorder. And they are common. I want to make a distinction between there are these disorders, and then there is the feeling that all of us will have had at some moment in our lives. At some moment, we all experience anxiety, whether it's because we have to give a public presentation or whether we're going to, you know, jump out of an airplane. I'm not volunteering for that.
No, me either.
You know, whether you have to take an important test, or you're interviewing for a job you really want. So anxiety is part of the human condition. It's when it gets out of control that we may put a label of a diagnosis on it.
Well, there's some things that I've tried over the years, because let's face it, being in radio and TV for over 50 years, you're going to have plenty of anxious moments. There's an herb called holy basil. Would you like to comment on that?
Sure. So that comes from Ayurveda, and it is an adaptogen. And the idea of adaptogens, and there are many, there is ginseng, and there is rhodiola, and ashwagandha. So there are lots of different kinds of adaptogens. And the idea is that they help restore normal functioning. So they reduce the stressful feelings. They help your body's system, you know, which includes your adrenal gland and the production of cortisol. They help normalize that. And so holy basil can be really useful in that way. It's definitely one of the dietary supplements that people can sometimes use. I think sometimes, you know, there's so many different strategies. So supplements can be one, but, you know, managing stress through having some kind of centering practice, whether that's breath work, for example, you can look on YouTube and Dr. Weil teaches the 4-7-8 breath. That can be very helpful. There's different forms of meditation like mindfulness meditation or other kinds of meditation. There's guided imagery that can be helpful. So there are many tools that people can use. Exercise, for example, often helps people feel more centered and less anxious. And it's good, you know, we all know this, as we get older, we've experimented with different things. We kind of know what works for us. We sometimes know what situations provoke anxiety, and then we can think about how to best handle them. So there's really looking at yourself and saying, what do I know that helps? What do I know that works for me?
You know, Dr. Weil taught me that 4-7-8 breathing, I'd say 20 years ago. I use it morning and night. It's very helpful, especially if you're doing it. It doesn't take very long, but when you are doing it, you really can't be thinking of any of your worries. It just completely kind of, your mind is totally focused on the breathing. And when you finish the breathing, you feel just refreshed.
Yes, so that's a wonderful testimonial for how it's valuable. And the other thing you said that's really important, Bill, is that you've been doing it regularly. So when you do it regularly, you tone the quieting side of your nervous system, which is sometimes called the parasympathetic nervous system. And by doing that, you like deepen the groove. A lot of us, we've got a really good groove for getting anxious. We really quickly can feel stressed, and we don't have as deep a groove in the side of our nervous system that's about quieting, calming. And that's what that 4-7-8 breath can help do. It can really help improve your ability to quiet yourself, and the regular practice of it makes you more and more effective at doing that.
Dr. Mazes, how can people hear the podcast Body of Wonder with you and Dr. Weil?
It is streaming pretty much on anything you'd want to find it, like iTunes and Spotify. And if you Google it, it's on our website. You'll be able to find it, and we'd love to have you listen.
All right, and you can follow Dr. Mazes on Twitter, Dr. Mazes, or find her at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to talking to you soon. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Coming up next, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott joining us on the live line right after CBS and a quick break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, oh, they're doing that beautiful and well-received parking lot sale. And I say beautiful because there's some beautiful plants out in the parking lot that are going for a song, as they say. It's really good buys. They're at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site has everything you need for the garden and beautiful things for your home as well. And the patio, like all the Talavera pottery at Zocalo Village. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com open daily, more than 50 years, more than a half century in business. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now to the live line and Pima County Supervisor representing the 1st Supervisorial District, Democrat Rex Scott. Supervisor Scott, back with us in Tucson after, I hope, a very refreshing back east visit to Ohio where the autumn leaves were showing their beautiful splendor.
Bill, they absolutely were, and good afternoon. Great to be here, as always, with you and Tom and your listeners. Yeah, my wife had never been back east during autumn. It occurred to both of us that any time we had visited my home state of Ohio, it had always been in either the winter or the summer. She had never seen Ohio in the fall, and she grew up here in southern Arizona, so she was really looking forward to it. And where I grew up in southeastern Ohio, it's in the foothills of the Appalachians, and it was just resplendent with all the fall colors. And we saw enough to make up for lost time in previous years.
You know, when I was growing up in suburban Chicago, folks were burning leaves in those days, and there was that wonderful smell in the air of autumn. I don't think they do that anymore, do they, in these communities?
I think that has that is a bygone practice, Bill. I don't think that's done anymore. I think that it even stopped before I moved here in the early 90s.
There you go. We had Mayor Romero, as you know, on the program yesterday, and I wanted to get her to I wanted her feelings, the latest feelings she has about RTA, the Regional Transportation Authority, the next program that is now being considered. I wanted you to listen to that, for sure, that portion of the interview. Did you get the sense that she's on board with RTA next?
I have always had that sense, not only about Mayor Romero, but my other colleagues on the RTA board, which are, of course, are the mayors of the other cities and towns, the representatives from the Pasquayaki tribe and the Tohono O'odham Nation, and then General Maxwell, who is Governor Ducey's appointee to the State Transportation Board. All of us, Bill, are committed to fulfilling the current plan, which expires in 2026, and all of us are committed to getting a new plan in front of the voters to cover the period between 2026 and 2046. And I especially appreciated what Mayor Romero said yesterday about how she sees a real partnership between RTA Next and what the city is hoping to achieve with the recently passed Prop 411.
She felt they're compatible, Rex Scott.
Yes. And I was glad to hear that, because that's consistent with what we were hearing from the mayor and her colleagues on the council back when 411 was passed. And I know that there are still some areas of contention and disagreement that we need to resolve on the RTA board. But Bill, I'm coming up on my 2-year anniversary as being a supervisor and being the county's representative to the RTA board. And there have been at least 3, possibly 4 meetings where all of us came into the meeting not knowing how we were going to reach agreement. And in each one of those instances, we not only got to a point of agreement, but it was such a point of agreement that we had 9-0 votes. And I think that's where we're going to land as we continue to talk about how to finish up the current RTA plan and also how to get an RTA next plan in front of the voters. All nine of us are committed to regional collaboration and finding solutions that where all of us can go back to the people that we represent and reassure them that the current plan is going to be fulfilled and that they can vote for RTA next with pride.
The contention with the city has been this, that the city's projects of the RTA were back-ended and that won't, and there was a concern that they would not be finished before the termination of the current 20-year plan.
Well, there is a revenue shortfall that dates back to the diminishing sales tax revenues that came in during the Great Recession, and the revenue shortfall is right around $150 million. The RTA board did vote unanimously a couple of meetings ago to move two projects, one of them that is a county project on First Avenue, the other one that is a joint project between the county and the town of Marana on Silverbell Road. We did vote to move those to RTA Next. But even if RTA Next is not passed by the voters, which of course we all hope that it is, we will still use all revenues available both to the RTA and to the local jurisdictions to assure that those projects are completed. And if there are any city projects that the RTA board considers for moving to RTA Next, they will also be completed. And if RTA Next is passed, any current RTA projects that are moved to RTA Next will be front-loaded. In other words, they will be slated for beginning at the very start of the next plan.
When do you think we might see some kind of a laundry list of a wish list from the advisory board that's been meeting now for many months?
Well, they're working on it right now in partnership with the Technical Management Committee, and I expect that they will have a draft to share with us maybe the midpoint of 2023.
You know, the mayor talked about how in the next 10 years, pretty much every street in the city of Tucson will be getting some attention. The Pima County has its own transportation plan that is quite ambitious, isn't it?
It is, and it is a plan that uses a combination of local and state funds. It was put in place by a unanimous vote of the previous Board of Supervisors, and it has been enthusiastically supported by a majority of our board since we took office in January of 2021. When the previous board put this plan in place, Bill, it allowed for the Board of Supervisors to use short-term debt through selling what are known as certificates of participation to infuse additional funds into the program. The previous board did that in the last fiscal year that they were responsible for, and we have done it in the first two fiscal years that we've been responsible for. As a result, when the previous board put this plan in place, the goal was for all of the county's roads to be in good condition, overall good condition by 2030. Because of that infusion of additional funds by the previous board and our board, we will now reach that goal in 2029.
All right, let's go to the live line. Caller Matt would like to speak with Supervisor Scott. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, Supervisor, first of all, I appreciate everything the RTA boards have done and what RTA has done. And I've always been a strong supporter of RTA. But as we look forward, it's clear, you know, that we should just simply look at this and say, you know, the RTA, you know, could only accomplish so much given the period of time that it had to accomplish the funding on certain priorities that were mandated by the original RTA. I'm concerned that we don't simply accept the fact RTA through 2026 should wrap up what it can do with regards to its mandate at that time. And I just wonder why while there clearly is a deficit with regards to what some things the city of Tucson wanted or other localities, the new RTA Next, why we need to front load what may be plans that are no longer relevant to today's regionalization. I'm not saying that's the facts. I'm just simply saying, as the board seems intent on trying to, make up for the good faith of the original board and the original RTA mandate, which I do not understand has anything to do with the future. If we move to RTA Next, I do not see any need to front load plans that no longer have relevance. And so could you address the concept of relevance to today's regionalization of transportation? I appreciate. Thank you.
Matt, thanks for the thorough and thoughtful question. The two projects that I referred to earlier, the county project on First Avenue and the County Marana project on Silverbell, are certainly still relevant and necessary roadway improvements. That is not only the conclusion of the RTA board, it's also the conclusion of the county and Marana, and certainly the conclusion of the RTA's technical management committee, which is made up of the transportation professionals from the various jurisdictions. So moving it towards RTA Next is not only an acknowledgement that those two projects are still very necessary, but it is also an acknowledgement of the revenue shortfall that I mentioned earlier in my remarks. Similarly, any city project that may be moved to RTA Next by the board will still be a relevant and meaningful project. And most significantly, we have a commitment that was made to the voters in 2006 to complete all of the plans that they approved in that ballot measure. And that has been what the RTA has done with all the projects that are already completed. And it is what we will do with all of the other projects that were approved by the voters back in 2006. That is a firm commitment by all nine members of the RTA board and the jurisdictions that we represent.
And it's worth noting that listener Mike, who sent me an email while we've been talking, points out that the very first project was the streetcar project for the city. So not all the big projects were backloaded. Good point there, Mike. All right, we'll take a break right here. More with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We continue with our conversation with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, who represents the District 1 district on the five-member Board of Supervisors. We've been talking about regionalism and transportation. Certainly the issue of homelessness does not stop at a certain city border. It really isn't a regional area problem, Supervisor Scott.
It is a regional issue, Bill, and it's another area where there needs to be wholesale commitment on the part of all governments in Pima County to do what we can to address our unhoused community, and not only the needs that they have, but oftentimes the concerns that they raise among other residents or business owners when there is a criminal element within that unhoused community. And we have heard loud and clear, both the county and the city, from business owners about some of the challenges that they are facing. I have also heard the same thing from heads of homeowners associations, especially HOAs that are near our washes, about some of the issues that they are dealing with. So we need both immediate and long-term solutions to not only help our businesses and residents to feel safe and supported and secure. But we also need to have a genuine wholesale housing first philosophy, where not only are you trying to get people who are unhoused into first temporary or emergency housing and then long-term housing, but you also have the services in place, whether it be mental health counseling or substance abuse interventions or employment counseling, so that you can get to the root causes of why somebody or their entire family are homeless. And that is going to require wholesale efforts, not just by the governments in our region, but also by the nonprofit sector and by the private sector as well. It really has to be an all hands on deck approach. And we have had some good conversations with the Crime Free Coalition that has started and has now over 1,000 members representing businesses and resident groups in our area. And we are also having ongoing conversations with the city of Tucson and the other jurisdictions about what we can do to collaboratively to address this issue and everything that stems from it.
I want to quickly touch on the situation with the constables. We had, of course, the tragic
shooting death of a constable. And right now, there's several constable openings. What are there? There's about six, maybe seven constable positions in Pima County, and I think half of them are not filled right now. What are we doing toward a uniformity, kind of uniformity code for constables?
Well, Bill, we are in a unique position when it comes to dealing with constables because, yes, the Board of Supervisors appoints new constables when a vacancy comes up. Yes, we also set their budget. And yes, we can also set the salaries for constables within a range that is established by the state legislature. But constables are independent elected officials, and their roles and responsibilities are defined under state statute. So there's a role for both state and local government in terms of changing or refining the roles of constables. What we are looking at and working in partnership, not just with the constables, but also with the sheriff's department and other law enforcement agencies, what we are looking at is within the bounds of our authority as the Board of Supervisors, what can we do to help to assure not only their safety and security when they are out doing their statutory responsibilities, but also do we need to lobby the state legislature to make some changes to how those statutory responsibilities are defined? So there's a lot of conversations going on at both the local level and when we have a new governor and legislature at the state level as well.
It's certainly a dangerous job, Rex Scott.
It's an extraordinarily dangerous job, and you know, I'm cognizant of the fact that the most recent constable resignation came about when a constable who had gone to assist one of his colleagues in serving papers, because that is the constable's statutory responsibility, and he was assaulted by the son of the person who they were serving papers on. He was trying to be of assistance and support to one of his colleagues and was injured, and in the wake of his injuries decided it was best for him and his family to resign his position. But I know that was an extraordinarily difficult decision for him because he had served as a constable for a long time and had a career in law enforcement prior to that. It is a difficult and challenging job. Obviously, the most frightening example of that is what happened to Constable Martinez Garibay when she was killed along with two other people when she was serving papers, eviction papers. So All right. We are, again, trying to work within the bounds of what we're allowed to do, and then we'll follow up with state government if we feel that there are changes that they need to make to constable roles statewide.
Supervisor Rex Scott, thank you very much.
You bet, Bill. Thanks so much for the time. As always, talk to you next month.
All right. Thank you very much. This would be a great weekend to get over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a three-hour drive from Tucson. Autumn is beautiful in the land of enchantment. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of ideas on what to do and some great suggestions on where to stay. southwestnewmexico.org. That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon.